Hey, Mimi. Hey, Gigi. When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up the glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Crikey, it's Gigi Gorgeous.
And it's Mimi. Did you put the shrimp on the barbie?
Today, we're on the ground and we're going to be speaking to one of the greatest pillars in our community.
One of the rarest breeds of her kind.
Wait, Mimi, enough with the accents. Did you bring your binoculars for real?
Of course I did. You don't get a chance like this very often.
I feel like I'm at the zoo.
But first, please leave us a query on our hotline at 1-844-QUERYS. That's QUEERYS.
Call and ask us absolutely anything. Nothing is off limits, nothing is out of the question, and maybe we'll answer yours right here live on the next episode.
Also, please leave us a review in 5 stars like this one from Liz2727. They wrote,
love Gigi and Mimi's dynamic. Please keep doing this together. Your friendship is an inspiration. Love that you don't always have to agree in everything. Keep it up, please.
Love you, Liz.
You might know the next guest from her hit show on HBO, We're Here.
Or as twice a finalist on RuPaul's Drag Race.
And let's be honest, probably on stage at your local gay bar.
Oh my God, I think I see her. Give me my camera, Gigi. I need a photo of this.
It's the queen of the elephants. The elephant queen herself, Eureka O'Hara. Welcome back to Queerified. Today is a very special episode because we have Miss Eureka O'Hara, my friend, that we've been talking about doing this forever.
Oh my God, listen, I am so super gagatondrid excited, Gigi Gorgeousy, Gigi, to be here today. It's just, I'm ecstatic. I love you so much.
Oh, I love you too. We've had so many nights talking about this where I was like, I got to have you on the podcast.
I know.
And here we are.
Woo, woo, woo. Oh, God. I love your house. I love your style. I love everything that you represent. You know, you're a beautiful trans woman in this world that you're open about it and your experience and everything. It's magical for a non-binary elephant human hybrid queen like myself, honey, from a small town, from nothing to something. You know, it's just, your story's inspiring. So I'm blessed to be a part of more queer art alongside, you know, queer trailblazers like you.
Oh, thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
I really do.
You just said you were non-binary. Let's start there. Like, what are your pronouns? Let's tell everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I love that question always. My pronouns are they, them, as David. So, like, my name is David outside of drag, the character. Eureka, the character, is a woman, honey. She, her. You know, she's a character. She's the illumination of all feminine things that I've always wanted to be, is Eureka. But as a human being, my name is David, and I'm a non-binary human being.
Awesome.
I love that. Mm-hmm. You are one of the few people that has transcended drag race. Let's just say, right? Like, you've gone on to do so many
transcended.
Word is very correctly chosen. But because I feel like a lot of people just do the show and then really don't go on to do very much else.
Or
but
they stay with the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And okay. I think that that's largely to do with, I mean, most recently, obviously, with We're Here on HBO Max.
Well, I'm very blessed with We're Here on HBO Max. Obviously, it's a project that's so close to my heart. And, you know, coming from a small town like Bob and Shangela both, we have always wanted to tell our own stories, which we were lucky enough to get to do through Drag Race. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be a thankful note to Drag Race, to World of Wonder, to RuPaul. Like, thank you for allowing queer culture to honestly grow in this industry.
Hell yes.
And then obviously with HBO being like one of those platforms that, like, I remember when I was growing up, HBO was like one of the movie channels.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Wait, was Sex and the City on it yet?
Yeah. I think so.
Oz
HBO was like Sex
it.
And the City to me.
Oz. I mean, HBO was just like one of those things where the rich kids had HBO at their house. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay.
At my house, we had the antenna we was trying to make work, honey, so we could get like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at 6 a.m., girl. Yeah. And, you know, so to be on HBO now, it's really honoring to my mother, because I just remember my mom loving movies so much and loving, she would, you know, the people that would walk around and sell the ads for the movie channels to the houses in our neighborhood.
Okay.
And she always bought the movie channels and she loved HBO. So just, it's a full circle moment for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously with HBO's We're Here, we're able to tell stories of small town culture, the queer culture, the transitioning of equality in those areas through drag and through the eyes of queer people. And we're able to educate homes that we would never normally get to reach with VH1 and World of Wonder because they have a different demographic. And with HBO, there's a new demographic that we're able to reach. So it's just exciting to see queer culture across all boards of society to where, bitch, we've been here forever, you know?
Uh-huh.
Queer people been turning the party in the entertainment industry. And now we're just being visible in multiple places, which is freaking amazing.
And you guys are basically like, we're here. Like, you guys actually go and travel to these places to help people. Yeah. And like, when you guys show up in like full guiche, dragged out with like your buses all very like Eureka eyes, Shangela Bob, like, yes. I feel like it is so like, we're here. And yeah. that's something that a lot of people don't really get the chance to see, especially in these like small towns, yeah. right? Like, they might have seen drag on TV, but it's so much different in real life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that is like something. Talk a little bit about that. Like, what is it like really like going and traveling in places that are maybe yeah. ignorant, or maybe there's like bigots that you encounter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, uneducated people are everywhere, especially mm-hmm. in small towns sometimes. I think that exposure is the best way to combat inequality.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's crazy, because I was just talking on a podcast with Garrett from the Hairspray musical. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, Garrett Clayton. Yeah, mm-hmm. of course.
And we were talking about how, you know, queer people are everywhere and in this industry and been working and thriving and trying to become a part of it. And we've always been here, but we're just now starting to actually see us pop up a little bit of everywhere, you mm-hmm. know? And even in small towns, the stories resonate so wholly with who we are as people and who are as individuals, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you keep in contact with the heroes on the show?
Yeah, I think that we all try to, you know, me, Bob and Shangela stick to our kids and mm-hmm. the kids, we interact with each other. It's very interesting how, you know, on social media and through text messaging, like, we're all family at the end of the day, you know, mm-hmm. as queer people, we all are.
I love that. Well, I've seen a few episodes that really hit home with me. And of course, there's always tears and there's a range of emotions. I mean, but I want to know from you, like somebody that's lived it. I know it's so different than just watching it on TV because it's all packaged and edited and that stuff. Is there anybody that you've helped that really like helped you?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think every single one of them, mm-hmm. you know, and let me just come into the light, Carol Ann, and say, every single one of them, because, you know, each one of them have an intimate story that they give a piece of themselves to us, and it's very magical, you know, and it's, and we also give a piece of ourselves to them.
Right. Right.
I think that's what's, it's taxing sometimes too, even for us.
Okay.
But I think that's the magic that happens on the screen that people are starting to relate to, is they're seeing real experiences happen in front of their eyes. They're seeing real relationships form, real confidence, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how drag is very powerful in that way to give us confidence. You know, sometimes if we just feel pretty, girl, we can go out and twirl and be who we want to be, you know?
Exactly. Look better, feel better.
Look better, feel better. It's yes. very that mantra, you know? And that's what is so magical about drag, especially in these small towns. We go in and we glamorize a space mm-hmm. and we queer out this space and we create a safe space for queer people. And then what happens is those people don't realize how many supportive people are actually in that area until we create an event like that. Mm-hmm. And they all start coming out and supporting it.
Right. Because we always see the negative, right? Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like in the comment section, you could get 100 right. positive comments, one negative. You're like, oh, it's terrible. T-T. That's just like in your hometown, right? It's like, well, like, mm-hmm. I don't really see it. So it's not here. It's
all
just
I hear
online.
Are the fag comments and exactly. the slurs and the, you know, rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. We don't pay attention to the elderly lady at the quilting shop that has the rainbow stitched into her, yeah. you know, blankets. It's mm-hmm. it's those small things. And I think that's what we're here is touching on the details.
Yeah, you bring
it's paying attention to the positive, right?
You don't only bring drag to their TV, but you bring drag the way their environment is. It's not like Drag Race where people are competing. They're seeing like drag queens in real life. What's the difference between competing in a reality show and then doing something like We're Here where you're producing?
Oh, I mean, girl, honestly.
I mean, night and day.
Night and day, bitch. Well, you know, drag queens are ferocious creatures. We are fierce individuals. You know, and RuPaul says it best, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. And that's for anyone. You know, all drag is valid. But when it comes to competition, girl, watch out. Because Mama Eureka is here to win a crown,
Obsessed.
But when it comes to we're here, I'm lucky because I get to have relationships with Bob the Drag Queen and Shangela in a way where we're sisters caring for individuals as like mother hen life coach type characters or personas in these people's lives. Like, you know, we're not trying to be therapists or anything like that. What we're doing is we're taking our own personal experiences and we're giving them advice on how to be confident with yourself.
I love
or
that.
How to maybe get through something that maybe we've had experience going through. At the end of the day, like, people are always like, oh, what do you do when people are like talking shit to y'all and you're in this small town? Bitch, we've all been in there. You know what I mean?
Like, do what I've always done.
Exactly. Kill them with kindness, mama.
Yeah.
And show them how fabulous you are, you know?
I'm happy that you bring up the word therapist because I've heard that drag queens and become therapists is a really negative connotation. And people think, who are drag queens to give therapy or talk to people going through a hard time? And I can relate with that a lot because I think that being open and proud and showing up and being unapologetic, authentic, it almost creates a therapy-like conversation because people see you
therapy,
and it opens.
A form of therapy.
It is. And I really heavily disagree with people that are like, drag queens aren't therapists. They can't really like facilitate these conversations.
Well, it's not, we're not,
of course, they don't have like,
girl, it's like talking to your best Judy.
Exactly.
You know, if you do the studies, I've literally read studies where intelligence comes from personal interaction amongst human beings. That's where the true intelligence comes
from. Oh, I love that.
That's a real thing. And interactions is where we gain those street smarts, you know, where we survive in this world. And, you know, our interactions with each other is how we learn how to live our everyday life. It's not in the book. You know what I mean? It's not personal experience. Same as the industry. You know, with this entertainment industry, people, you know, and I had professors when I was in college, they would be like, you know, you can sit here and you can study these diagrams and these scripts all day long, but until you're out there and you meet people and you meet the connections, you're not going to have the experience and learn how to work a camera, learn how to build a light. You know, through COVID, even us became gaffers and lighters and our own technicians. And, you know, and now we're full blown accessible superstars because we can do everything ourselves because we've had to be. And that's what creates intelligence and smarts, right?
And also in our community, like the biggest like emotion we feel sometimes is we all feel alone. So it's so important for everybody to speak about all of their experiences because someone's going to be like, oh, I felt that way too. And that's going to be huge for them. I think it's huge.
Loneliness sucks.
It does.
Loneliness sucks.
It does. And I mean, I feel like the biggest thing is like, no, you're never alone, truly.
No, not like, if you have your own back.
Yes, exactly. And there's always going to be a community out there. Like there really will be. And there always is a best friend. So you're never really truly alone. You can feel alone.
Yeah.
Like that's valid.
Don't be a victim.
Oh,
that too.
That's the T.
That part.
That's the number one for us here on Queerify.
I think I'm allergic to being a victim.
Yeah, me too.
I really,
it's embarrassing.
To understand that you're a victim. There,
yeah.
I'm not saying victims aren't victims. Don't get me wrong, girl.
Of course not.
Do not hashtag this bitch, okay? But what I am saying is don't victimize yourself.
Don't act like the victim, even if you are.
Don't. Well, no, just don't victimize yourself. You know, be stronger than that.
Yeah.
Be the hero for yourself, you know? No, it's not about being better. It's just about if you're looking for something in this world, period, you have to find it within yourself first before you can find it in anybody else. So if you're looking for kindness, if you're looking for intelligence, if you're looking for laughter, all these things, find it within you first and then you'll start seeing it in other people. People don't realize it. It really does all start with you.
How did you find it for yourself?
Bitch, a lot of trial and error and depression and, you know, honestly, attempts of suicide even, you know, thoughts of it, realizing, you know what, I'm not going to take my own life. So what am I going to do instead? You know?
Absolutely. I feel you right there.
Deciding to live, bitch. Mm-hmm. When you get up in the morning, you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to live today. Mm-hmm. No, bitch. I'm going to thrive today.
Yes.
I think to get to that point.
Such a difference. Yes.
I think to get to that point, you have to hit rock bottom.
I'm going to get my makeup right, honey. You know?
Yeah, Mimi, you said, sorry?
I think to get to that point, you have to hit rock bottom. And that's how,
I mean, I think we
all, that's how I've gotten there, you know, like feeling those feelings that you just said.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, I can, girl, I get on my tangents this season.
Oh, girl, so do we. You're on the right podcast, girl. You came to the right couch.
Yeah, girl, when I get on a soapbox, bitch, you can't get me off.
Get on, get on it.
You know, speaking of that though, I really want to touch on a lot of people call into the podcast. Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners, they talk about finding themselves and going through that hard time. I want to talk about the gender of it all, because that can be a low, low point for so many people. Darling. Yeah. What is your journey with gender been like?
Oh, girl.
Period. Yeah, what's it been like?
Mama, have you ever been to Six Flags?
Like a roller coaster, huh?
Mama. The Superman, the Sidewinder.
That's a good example.
Gender is a journey.
Up and down, up and down.
Gender is a journey. It's an expression. It's you know, I've been through so many elements of gender. Mm-hmm. I've lived as a trans woman for 4 years. I went to college. For 4 years at East Tennessee State University.
Mm-hmm. What was her name?
I'm going to show you this. Erica.
Erica.
Erica. Love that.
And girl, my little, I was just laughing about this last night because my Amazon account is still under Erica.
Of course it is. With the C or a K.
My email, it's E-R-I-C-A.
C-A, okay.
And I don't know why. I don't even know where the fuck Erica came from. It's weird. I guess
it sounds like Eureka.
The closest thing to Eureka.
Far from David.
Exactly. Yeah. As far away from David as possible.
Which a lot of women choose to do. I mean, rightfully so.
So let me show you this picture really quick. You're going to die.
I'm so excited.
Not
so
die.
This is actually...
I'm going to live. I mean, yeah. I'm going to thrive.
Reborn.
Gonna I'm going to thrive.
Mama. I'm going to come back to life today. So these are actually my college IDs.
I'm going to puke. Oh, my God. You're gorgeous. Yes.
Oh, girl. Mama, full on Gagatandra. Trans fish.
I live.
I was a woman.
Please show her this one.
I was a woman, girl. Just.
Oh my God. She's a woman.
I know.
She looks like, okay, to the listener at home, she looks like your next door neighbor. That's what she looks like. She looks like the girl from The Office.
Like a Southern Belle.
These are the both of them. Like, I transitioned last year of college.
Yeah.
So my last year of college, I'll never forget. I walked into my last theater master's class. Mm-hmm. And I was not in geesh. I was in like khaki shorts. I had just cut my hair off.
Wow.
I had no nails, nothing.
So you detransitioned overnight. It was like
I retransitioned. I don't like to say detransition. I like to say retransition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
More than detransition. I don't think I went backwards.
Yeah.
I think I reversed the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like I revamped some shit. So it's retransition.
You just changed again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I ended up being non-binary. I tried to go back to this gay person I thought I was in my mind, but learned later, like, no, you're a part of the spectrum. You're a part of this gender journey and this flamboyancy of colorful gender expression. And maybe it is non-binary. And some days I feel like a nut and some days I don't.
I love that. That is so honest.
But I remember I walked into my master's theater class the first time, and no one had ever seen me like as a boy,
right?
And the teacher literally said, "Are you in the wrong class?" And it made my whole life.
Right, smoke and mirrors, baby. I was like, she was giving.
I was like, no, I am David.
Oh my God.
And
he goes, now I know you're in the wrong class.
What? You mean you mean Erica?
Right.
And I was like, no, today I'm David. And they were all like,
oh my God, that must have gagged them.
Drama, girl. Drama. And then the next week I was on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, really? Okay.
What do you think about all the stigma in regards to detransitioning and even just the word detransitioning?
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't really get talked about enough,
not
right?
At all.
There's a lot of celebration around transitioning, and it's almost like you're put on a pedestal to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that detransition is a thing. I just don't believe in de anything. I don't believe in retracting. Mm-hmm. I believe in creating something new. That's why retransition for me, and I'm just a selfish individual, and I refuse to make detransition a part of my vocabulary.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So,
it has a negative connotation.
It does.
Yeah. So retransition is better for me. Mm-hmm. So for me, I like when that. Someone retransitions into whatever transition they're in their life, girl, it's just for you. Mm-hmm. It don't have nothing to do with nobody else. That's the thing. People, I spent so much time focusing on how everyone else was looking at me mm-hmm. versus how I felt about myself. It was the looks in the store when I was trans, and if they thought I was a man or a woman, it was the sirs. It was the stabs of the sir in my spine. You know,
so
it was
real.
It's so traumatic.
Yes.
It's all those moments wrapped into one, right? And when you decide to just be like, you know what? No, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm going to do me. That's when you're retransitioning into who mm-hmm. you are authentically. And you moving kind of forward. Mold the male and the female and everyone is a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know a single woman that don't have a little bit of roughness in her.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's all on a spectrum.
And it's hot. And it's hot.
You're looking at one.
Can we rewind a little bit? What made you transition in the first place?
So when I, what made me transition mm-hmm. to be trans?
Mm-hmm. To be a woman.
In all honesty, mm-hmm. I met this boy named Josh. And it was the first boy that ever gave me attention.
Okay.
And he was into Eureka the Drag Queen. And I grew up always praying that I was a girl because I grew up with three women, you know, wanting to be a woman, hating that I was gay, hating that I was a faggot. And then I finally thought I found some love, and mm-hmm. he liked Eureka more than David. And I lived with a trans woman at the time, and I fully was like, you know what? That's my life.
For the man.
I need to be a woman. If I'm going to be happy, and if I want this dick, then I have to have a pussy. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. That's truly where my mind was.
Wow.
And it was very dark. It was a horrible time in my life. I, you know, before I met him, I didn't know what drugs were. I didn't know what anything was. I was so, you know, I didn't know what trauma was, really, besides my father. You know, mm-hmm. we all
You didn't know
stories.
What drugs were, but you were Eureka already?
Yeah.
In the nightclubs?
I was sober as can be.
Really? Yeah. It wasn't even around you?
I wouldn't drink or anything.
Wow.
Oh, no, it was around me. But I'm just saying, like, I was such a good girl.
Right.
And then you find love and you find that right dick, girl. And next thing you know.
Dickmatized.
You're trans.
Next thing you know, you're a woman, girl. You got titties and a bang, girl.
Girl, I got to ask, where is he now?
I don't know, and I don't,
you don't
care.
Know. Okay. I mean, obviously you don't care.
You know, honestly, he is probably in Irwin, Tennessee mm-hmm. with his parents, mm-hmm. whom were just crazy religious people. He used to sneak me in his bedroom window.
Oh my gosh. And
they would, red flag.
They knew I was there. Oh. They would fully be praying at the door.
What?
Craziness. And then he would sneak me up to the barn. Yes, the barn. Mm-hmm. And then, girl, and he'd fully have his way with me, choking me with belts and being crazy. It was honestly traumatic.
Oh my God. Wow. That man has some demons.
Some demons, girl. And I had to release those demons a long time ago. And now we can laugh about it.
Right.
But honestly, I feel bad for poor Erica. Miss Erica went through it.
You know? I mean, girl, from the jump, it
from
seems.
From the jump.
Yeah. Right. I feel like a lot of people have to really like decide that what you were speaking of earlier really hit me, because being trans, it really is a thing where you are like, I got to look inward. I got to be happy.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. the sirs do cut. The misgenderings do cut. The dead naming. It hurts. But yep. I feel right now that I'm most recently at a place where people could call me sir. And I know I feel like a girl inside. Yeah. And that's
well, you
what
know,
really
you would just
truly
be like, dude, I'm a woman, bitch.
Or I'd be like, who?
Yeah.
I'd be who? Like, no, surely
who
not
there?
Me.
Who there?
No, but it really is something that's you have to like mm-hmm. take that on yourself. And I think a lot of trans girls, a lot of trans men right in the beginning, it's so hard not to think of that, because it is about passing. Yeah. And I mean, it really isn't, but the society really tells us like mm-hmm. passing is so important. You got to be as fishy or as masculine as possible.
Yes.
But if you surround yourself with the right people mm-hmm. and you really don't feel like all that is really that necessary to you, then it shouldn't be, and they should reflect that, because mm-hmm. it is about how you see yourself. It's about letting the soul out. And when you say I'm trans, you just let the soul out.
Girl, yeah.
Gigi, has detransitioning ever crossed your mind?
No, I've never. I mean, I am like so cut. I think I.
Could you imagine?
I think I was in drag for so long as a gay male back in the day. That. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, people would come up to me all the time, and I was out and proud. I was online. I was going to the mall. I was going to my brother's college, mm-hmm. going to school in full makeup, everything. People, do you want to be a girl? And I would say, no, mm-hmm. it's not for me. Not for me. Mm-hmm. The second I met my first in full denial, mm-hmm. because I didn't know that it was possible. Yeah. I had to meet my first trans woman in real life to be like, bitch, what have I been pretending this whole time? And literally from that moment too, just like how Erica switched back to David, I was like, I'm mm-hmm. Gigi, bitch. Mama. And that's the truth.
And I ain't never gonna stop.
And I've always been Gigi.
Yeah.
You know, like it was always. I think if I were to have to retransition or detransition, however you want to say it, I would be in such a dark place, mm-hmm. and that would be like prison for me.
It's just prison. Yeah, don't put yourself in that box, girl, you know? Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's the comfort of retransitioning and becoming a person of yourself, you know? Like, and I say person of difference, you know, and I try to reference, I say person of difference when I reference anyone, whether it's color, ethnicity, so on and so forth, just because I think we're all different mm-hmm. and we're all treated a different way, you know, and that's where that relatability can come from for our equality experience. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to push equality for each other because we're all different, you know, mm-hmm. we're all people of difference. You know, whether you're queer, a minority, and it's not comparable, your gender, so on and so forth. And there's different struggles for different people mm-hmm. and different elements of struggle. But at the end of the day, we are people of difference. And that's mm-hmm. the problem, is we don't fit this societal mold that we're taught from a very young age, from fetal mm-hmm. to adulthood in school. We're given this design of who we're supposed to be.
And there's two options.
That's what has to stop. Mm-hmm. It just has to stop. You have to stop dictating who people are supposed to be. Allow these kids to grow. I think that's what's good about the new generation, though, because I think the new generation has really, as annoying as they can be, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. I love the kids, but, you know, but honestly, they're so powerful because these new kids are like, you know what? No, mm-hmm. we're accepting gender. We're accepting minorities. It's not even an exception at this point, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of saying we're accepting, we're calling y'all stupid who are still questioning anything. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And that's pretty fucking cool. And that comes from people like you, Gigi. Mm-hmm. You know, who've put in the work. People like yourself, my love, people like me, mm-hmm. people that are out here making a difference. People like Bob, Shangela, RuPaul, you know, mm-hmm. Viola Davis, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, these powerful people, Latino communities, Valentina, you know, Asian communities with Kim Chi, like these people that are making a difference for cultures in our world and showing diversity in that mm-hmm. culture. That's what's really making it happen for these kids and our popularity. And people are wanting to be like us. And they're like, it's now cool to be different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. To go back to high school now, I feel like would be a totally different.
My God. Could you imagine?
I mean, it would be crazy. It'd be like high the popular kids are all non-binary and trans and gay.
I wonder,
how
is it, do you think, for young people now? Because it was kind of hard for us. Like, we can say that. It wasn't easy. 10 years ago, there wasn't this many queer people on TV. What is it like
absolutely
now?
Not.
Like, I guess it's just normal and cool and whatever, huh?
It depends on the area. You know, mm-hmm. I have a niece, my niece, Alexis. I talk to her a lot, you know, and she's so fierce mm-hmm. because she's a battler for equality, girl. She's like, and she lives in East Tennessee where it's still very, you know, Trump's America.
Those are the heroes.
I hate to be that frontful mm-hmm. about it, mm-hmm. but it's very Trump's America. It's very, you know, brainwashed, you know, anti-vaxxers, like, buffoonery mm-hmm. girl. But she's over there like, my family still calls me D, by the way.
Okay.
So they don't call me David. Even my nieces and nephew, because they knew me as a trans woman, and the way that my family would feel comfortable with it is they decided to call me D.
I mm-hmm. love that.
Instead of anything.
Like
which is really
gender neutral. Almost. D-E-E. Yeah, yep. I love that.
So even my nieces, they still call me D to this day. My nephew.
It's so cute.
None of them call me David. It's all D.
I love that.
Which is really sweet. Yeah. So she'll be like, D, can you believe it? I just had to scream at this kid in class because she was being mean to my non-binary friend. And blah, blah. And I, you know, and I, she made me these like Trump signs and Black Lives Matter signs when I did a show in Johnson City, Tennessee, when I went back to do a show. She made me all these protest signs for my performance, and her friends helped her, you know, and they're freshmen in high school. You know what I mean?
The new generation.
And, like, band geeks. And like, she's on the swim team. You know, it's just like, it's the new generation of people. Like, these kids are really fucking doing it.
I have to ask, I was thinking about this. I'm like, I'm just going to ask it. Yeah. What was harder socially?
Okay.
Transitioning from David to Erica? Because we all know the new pronoun, the new name, yeah, yeah. People got to get used to it. The people that knew you and love you.
Okay.
What was harder, that or going from Erica back to David?
Erica back to David.
How so?
Honestly, because it more so with Eureka intact too, you know?
Okay.
It was the Erica to Eureka to David. It's the non-binary, honestly, mm-hmm. is the hardest socially. People are very against non-binary right now. And I think it's because there are some people I think that claim non-binary just for attention. And I think that there are people
I get that. I've seen it.
Me too. Are genuinely non-binary.
Uh-huh. I've seen it. I've felt it when people exactly. do it. I'm like, are you?
I know. I think that that's all across the board though.
It's a little trendy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes it tougher for people like myself, people like Alok, my friend, whom is a non-binary person as well.
Love them.
You know, it's difficult for people that are truly living in their realness and to fight our fight, you know. But I appreciate people like you who are out and proud trans individuals who are acknowledging people like myself. Someone else is Ashley Marie Preston.
I love her.
You know, she called into action myself when she was doing her Dave Chappelle issues just because it was about a non-binary issue, and she included us in the trans conversation, which I think is a really great way to start inclusion for non-binary individuals, and just respect, you know. But yeah, I think being non-binary has been the hardest socially and sexually, to be honest.
Because, okay, makes sense though.
You know, it's like, you know, boys want to fuck me, but because I have this like to me, but yet the nails are off-putting, mm-hmm. and then the trade wants to hit it, but yet the is too much. So it's like, where do I fall? You know, it's like the clown fuckers want to fuck Eureka, but Eureka only shows up for 5,000 to get through the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So daddy better have a check, honey, if you want a wig on and you want some pussy. Okay, we're out to talk, daddy.
Okay, now we got to up it to 10.
Up. Price is going 10. Up, yeah. Okay, 10, 20, 30, 40, uh-huh. yeah. Okay. And then, so it's like, Where do I fall? You know, mm-hmm. and I've found romance with people, but it's almost too much for them when it comes to the expression of my flamboyancy and masculinity and the roles of both. You know, and I dream of a world where one day I will find that love.
You will.
And I will. You know,
will. But, don't you find that the dating pond is much smaller because you are so niche, for lack of a better term? Like being trans, it's like there's so many people that won't fuck with you.
And it's small and non-binary.
There's that too, right? You have all these layers that make a lot of people instant no's.
Yeah.
So it's like the yeses.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that I'm not going to have sex with because they're fans, because it's just uncomfortable.
Right. And that's a choice.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're really into someone and they have like that, they're like, oh, you know, she's non-binary or, you know, he's non-binary, whatever. And it's like, whoa. You're clearly not for me.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. People just don't want to understand it, and they don't want to have to explain it to other people. And again, it's those people, and it's society, I think, getting in their heads and worried about what other people are going to think. People are so dictated by what others think.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
Just mm-hmm. fucking mm-hmm. love who they want to love and fuck who they want to fuck. Exactly. Excuse my language.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't know if we can cuss on here or not.
Duh.
Oh, okay.
Imagine
gosh.
Me no cussing, Eureka.
Well, I don't know, girl. You know, YouTube be crazy, girl.
What kind of person are you looking for? Let's put the feelers out there.
What kind of person am I looking for? Girl, someone who's into me. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I'm open. You know, I think I consider myself partially pansexual in a way.
That was my next question.
You know,
okay.
Is, you know, I think that I would be open to exploring anything sexually if the connection was there.
Okay.
To be honest. And I think that just because I was very traumatized sexually as a child. So sex has been a very difficult conversation and attempt for me in general as an adult. So I don't discount anyone sexually because I know how much of a struggle it's been for myself.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, you are just like the most open, non-binary, pansexual. Like, are you kidding me? Can't get better than that. Bitch. I love that.
Because girl, honestly, at this point, what do I have to lose? I've lost everything in my life. And I'm going to be honest, my mother, my grandmother, anyone that was going to be that person for me, all I have is myself and the people that I have built in my life and the career that I've built for myself and my family that I'm lucky to still have. And I just want to live happy, you know? And if I can't share who I really am with the world, then I don't want that success. The success that I want is the success that loves Eureka / Dave of the non-binary queen that I decided to be today.
Lil D.
I'm
going to change your name in my phone to D. Ah! Okay, I love it. I'm going to be like one of your nieces and nephews.
Oh, D, honey.
D,
get your ass off here, girl. Yeah,
calling you D, where you at?
I was just talking about how I wanted to change my name.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking with my friend Roxanne, and I was like, should I change it to Eureka? And she was like, you might have a battle with David for that. And I was like, but you know, maybe I change it to D.
I love that. D-E-E.
It's just so gender neutral.
It's Southern. It's cute. It's gender neutral. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, D Huggard.
I mean,
my last name's Huggard, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Duh.
But the country's name in the world, my full name is David Lee Huggard Jr.
Junior.
My whole name is David Lee Huggard Jr.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love D.
D Huggard.
I love it. The second I heard it, I pictured D-E-E.
D-E-E,
it's so good.
That's how I would always sign my name.
Is that your new name?
That is your new name.
Get the papers.
We're the witnesses.
Call the Secretary of Treasury right now of California, Tennessee. Bitch, lock them up.
Bitch, there's nothing better than a name change live on the podcast. It wouldn't be my podcast if it wasn't happening.
Okay, mama, well, let's get the paperwork started, honey. Let's
I love
do
that.
It.
All right, so that was literally fucking everything. Yeah. Can't wait for your new name change. Let's be honest.
I learned so much today.
I did too. I really like mm-hmm. You are like a fountain of education.
I'm not. I'm a fountain of experience.
Mm. Yeah.
And so are you. Mm-hmm. I'm just open about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. A lot of people aren't, honestly.
I know. And you know, and I shouldn't be probably sometimes. I'm sure there's gonna be
too much is better than too little.
Agent or somewhere that's like, oh, that was a little much. But honestly, I don't give a fuck.
Because it's real.
I don't care. I don't care anymore.
And you know,
don't we do this
someone.
To help people in the end?
We do this exactly, to help me. Each other, but most of all, you know why I do this for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't be fake in the world no more, girl. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it.
Done it for too long.
I did it for way too long, bitch. I pretended to be everything else except
the Joshes in the world.
Mama.
Girl.
The Joshes. The Zacharys.
Who's Josh?
Bye.
The buffoneries.
The one that fucked her in the barn.
Yeah.
with the belts.
See? With the belts. The whips and chains and handcuffs.
All the details.
Smacking little booty up with my belts.
The parents were outside praying. Don't you remember?
Let me get my fight.
All right. So okay. On this podcast, after this quick little break, we answer some queries from people. Mm-hmm. People call in. All right, we will be right back. Welcome back. We are here with our elephant queen goddess of the world, Eureka O'Hara, aka D. And if you guys are unaware, we have a hotline at 1-844-QUERYS. That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S. Mm-hmm. You can call and ask us anything. We're going to be answering some questions or comments, whatever you want to leave. We're about to get into it right now. So call and ask. Your question might be in the next podcast.
Mm-hmm. And let's do it to it.
Our callers are lucky today to have you, Eureka. I think you'll have great answers for them. Here we go. Our first caller.
Okay.
Hey, my name is Sierra and I live in Los Angeles. And my question for you is, how do you stay so gorgeous? You know, I'm joking. That's not my question. But my question is, what is your view on how trans women nowadays are just live in competition and how they don't like have one another's back and how they just live? I feel like a lot of our sisters are just like, so like superficial that they don't even care about the sisters that are down, you know? And I think that we should see more of that. But yeah. Thank you.
Sierra, thank you so much for that question. That's a great question, and it's actually something we've talked about before. And Gigi, what else do you have to say about that?
So I actually, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but one of my trans girlfriends, her name is Erica, weirdly enough, Erika. We were talking about this, and I was saying, like, I've always had like a lot of trans girlfriends. Uh-huh. Like I just have. Literally since I started transitioning, I began transitioning with a good trans girlfriend. And unfortunately that relationship is no longer, but there's always been a lot of trans girls around me. Mm-hmm. Like I've never been like, I don't have trans friends.
Right.
So I was talking to her about that and she was like, me too. And I was like, what do you think makes another trans girl in particular, but trans person like that, where it's all about competition and they don't want any trans girls around them. And I said to her, I was like, I think it's a maturity level.
Yeah.
You grow into it. You kind of like see that it's really not about competition and you get out of your own head and the ego goes away. And she said to me, it's something I'll never forget. She goes, Gigi, you and I are girls, girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, okay. Yeah. Like, yeah, I've always had girlfriends. She's like, no. Being a girl's girl for a trans on trans girlfriend relationship is so much different than just having girls going out to drinks. Like we share so much more.
100%.
And I don't know if those girls are ready for that. And that's what I pin it to, because you're either a girl's girl or you're not. But I think that everybody wants to be.
I think it all pins up to insecurity too. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes down to insecurity. It's insecurity within your gender, and that's something that you have to work on. And it's that whole thing we were talking about earlier about, you know, worried about what other people are going to think. I think a lot of times trans women are worried about being other trans women because it's going to make them more clockable.
Oh, totally.
Right? You know, it's very
totally. Fatty. Yes.
I remember like back in the day, like it was hard for me because I was taller. There were some of the girls, like when I would go to the Capitol, I would work with Tennessee Transgender Political Coalition. And some of those girls wouldn't want to go in the meeting with me because they thought it would clock them. Mm-hmm. You know,
Hag.
It's just
such a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing. But I think it's just about finding, you know, who you are. Figuring it out for yourself. Also, Sissy, as far as advice to Miss Thang that asked the question, then if you want to see the change, be the change. You know what I mean? Be that positive role model. If you sound like you are hyper feminine, I don't know if you're trans or not, but if you are one of those girls, then start being that girl that you want to see act different.
Mm-hmm.
And pay answer. The ones that are doing it, pay them no mind. Like it doesn't affect
give them
you,
dust,
you know?
Girl.
Exactly.
It's like, what is it, not cute.
What does it affect your life? Like when they're there to finally be a girl's girl and be there for you and the insecurity drops, then be there because you've always just been that girl.
Mm-hmm. And just let them know it's not cute.
Right. Oh,
same,
yeah. Clock them a bit.
Would, exactly.
Definitely clock them a little.
Yeah. And you don't have to do it in an aggressive way, but just let them know, like, no. I don't agree with you, you know?
Totally.
And someone will pay attention, someone will notice, and they'll actually appreciate it, especially if they're being affected by it.
Exactly. And then once you guys are friends, be like, remember that time? Remember how you were, girl? That wasn't cute.
That wasn't cute.
How do you feel now? Happier? You feel happier?
Uh-huh. Are you a little more grown today?
You're like, at least we can laugh about it now.
Okay. Our second question, here we go.
Hi, Gigi. My name is Nicolette. I live in Portland. So I have kind of two little questions. If one of them is a little too much, I apologize. But what is one thing that you miss about your mom? And then the other one would be, what do you love most about yourself through your transition? I hope you both are well. Love you. Bye.
Nicolette, thank you so much for calling in. Those are two great questions. So the first question was, what do you miss the most about your mother? And the second one was, sorry, what was the second one?
What do you love the most about your transition?
The second question was, what do you love most about yourself through your transition? So I think you both can answer this question.
We can. Do you want to go first?
I think you should go first.
Okay. Well, simply put, the biggest thing that I miss about my mom was there's a long period
did
of time.
Away?
She did when I was 19.
Wow.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is just like her personality, because for the longest time, I like even forgot what the sound of her voice sounded like.
Yeah.
And that happens when you lose somebody, no matter how close, like even a family member. It's like I'd hear a tape and I'd be like, was that her? Like, wow. I genuinely, like, blocked out her voice. Like, it just became unfamiliar to me. And I was like, I'm losing her. Like, she hasn't been around for so long. I'm losing her. But I'll never forget. No, as long as I live. And until, like, many other reincarnation of life. I feel like her personality was just so, mm-hmm. like, so contagious. She would just walk in a room, be the light in the room. I just miss laughing with her. Like, she just was always, like, we would get on my dad's nerves, but we would just, like, laugh together. Like, she was just, like, a little shit. And I just, aww. Yeah, she was. And I love that. I feel
so
like that's where I get
all of that from your mom.
I do. It's like, she was like an instigator. Like, she would always be like, you know, if she saw something, she would be like, no, it's pudgy. Let's poke a little
but
bit.
But yeah, also those good things that you were saying about your mom, you get from her too. Because you also do walk in a room and light it up, you know?
Oh, thank you.
And you have a beautiful personality too. So that's awesome. So your mom lives in you, girl.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hello. Yeah. I think that's also a part that helped me transition when my dad was like, wait, Gigi is mom.
Wow.
It was like he saw the feminine energy. He saw my mom, Judy. Crazy.
Oh,
what about yours?
Judy.
Judy. Yeah.
Well, my mom's name was Eureka.
Oh, really?
That's where I got my name.
Oh, actually. Wow.
Oh, my God.
So I'm named after my dad. So, and I was so anti my father at the time, especially. So, like, when I decided to make this female character, it was very built after my mother, Eureka. But it was Ulrike, like Ulrike, U-L-R-I-K-E, because she's from Germany.
Oh, okay.
But mm-hmm. I spelled it like the vacuum cleaner because it was easier to read.
Uh-huh.
You know,
for flyers.
Yeah, for flyers. For the Americans, honey. Yeah, but I think I miss... I just miss... I miss my mom's voice, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Such a thing. It's you a really thing. Do miss. Like, you it's forget.
Because like, also when my mom was sick, she lost her voice because she had a trach in her throat. And that was the one thing I missed so much was hearing her talk to me, talking to her on the phone when I was traveling or, you know what I mean? And it's, so it is a thing. Mm-hmm. It is the voice. So it's weird that you mentioned that.
Because it is real. And, you know, I'll go back to what I said earlier. Look better, feel better.
Yeah.
So when my mom was diagnosed with leukemia, she was going through it. She had lost her hair. She had lost a lot of weight. She found this. I don't know how she found this group, but she found this group and it was called Look Better, Feel Better.
Whoa.
And she took home makeup and she, you know, put it on her face and we had little beauty days and stuff like that. It's sad that people need to hear that because I've seen it in like the harshest of she used to be a beauty queen. Mm-hmm. All of her beauty was taken away.
Yeah.
And she was like, I need to feel better. So there was this, you know, for cancer patients, it's like look better, feel better. And I feel like people can really take that on because necessarily you could look fine, but be going through it inside with your gender identity or sexual orientation, whatever it may be. And looking better does help you, your inside kind of come out a bit more.
It's just crazy because my mom went through the same thing because she was always the glamour shots queen.
Mm-hmm.
She loved doing her glamour shots.
They would have been best friends.
They would have been, they probably are now.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's cute. They're best Judies.
They're best Judies up there, honey, sprinkling with their wings and things.
Mm-hmm. Teaching my mom Russian.
Yes. Bitch, that's really beautiful. My mom was the same way. I remember I did a shoot with her, my mother, and I put her in a wig and everything. And I did this photo shoot moment. And I just, because she had lost her hair and her face was swollen because of her throat trach and all that. And it was just so beautiful. It makes me emotional just looking at the photos because she was just smiling so genuinely. How much a woman feels beautiful when they look good, you know?
It's real.
It's real, mama.
It's the kind of like endorphins
better,
that get, it gets set off in your body that's unlike anything else.
Just get yourself up and get together, bitch.
Especially if you haven't felt that way for a long time, you're like, ooh, I'm still that bitch.
Is that the best part? Is that your favorite thing about your transition, I guess, into the other question?
Yeah.
Being beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean, I love the way that being gorge and dressing up and stuff makes me feel, of course. I think that I'm really, really proud and happy of like the woman that I've become. Like I look back on like the first day where I would tell my friends, I'm transgender, I'm gonna be Gigi now. And also I'm on hormones. I know it's a lot, but like you're not losing the old me. You're just gaining Gigi. If I were to tell myself back then that I'm married now, I'm happy, I'm a woman, I'm like, I have all of this shit
that
like
true.
I never thought that I would have because I was ready almost to like throw that away being trans. Yeah. Like I was like, it's fine, I just need to be a girl. I need to be, I need everyone to see me as a girl. I need to be a girl. But now that like seeing that I'm married, especially to like another trans person, it's just like, it's fucked.
It's gorgeous.
You know, it is truly, truly gorgeous.
Gigi gorgeous.
I mean, hello. OMG.
OMG gorgeous.
D, What's your favorite part of your transition or retransition?
Honestly, it's just, it is expressing myself how I want to. It's the getting it together and being pretty and frilly. And sometimes I want to be butchish, you know? I think my favorite part about retransitioning to non-binary was the expression of noticing, like, sometimes, girl, I want to wear a lash and sometimes I don't.
Of course.
And I'm lucky in that way. Because honestly, being a trans woman is hard. It's a lot of work.
You really got to put it together and you got to choose when you don't to not care.
Being a woman is hard.
It is.
Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Especially a woman in this society, in a productive,
right,
attractive, mm-hmm, like presentable society, because there's so much expectation. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
As a trans individual, there's even more pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I hat tip to you, but it's about expressing myself and the way I look. For sure.
I love that.
Thank you so much again, Nicolette, for that question. That was a really sweet question. Okay, are we ready for our last query of the day?
Oh, yes.
Boom, boom.
Here we go.
Hi, Mimi and Gigi. My name is Maya. I'm from British Columbia, Canada. My question is, for most of my life, I've kind of been estranged from my mother just due to, like, she's had poor mental health, and I just wasn't really in her life for a long time. She wasn't in my life. It just wasn't able to happen. And recently, I've been wanting to kind of connect with her more for her sake, just because, like, I know she's lonely and, like, needs people in her life, and I would like to have that connection, but, like, the emotion just isn't really there, you know, because, like, we just weren't in each other's life for so long. But my question is, how do I begin to spend time with my mother while also just, like, keeping my own integrity and, like, remaining myself and not giving too much to her? Yeah, if you have any advice on that, that would be awesome. I love your podcast. You guys are super inspiring to me in my gender identity journey. So thank you so much and have a good day.
Maya, thank you so much for that question. It's a heavy, heavy question, honestly. And first of all, I just want to say I'm sorry that you're not as close with your parents as, you know, you may want to be. I wasn't always as close as I am now to my parents, but being in the position that I am with my parents now, I treasure it so much. It gives me so much happiness that I can be close with them. But what do you guys think? Like, how should she start rebuilding this relationship that essentially wasn't there?
Yeah. Okay. I have a lot to say, I feel, because I was close with my mom until the day she passed away. I'm very close with my dad now still. They were married until my mom passed away. So I'm the worst person to ask. But through my life experience, like, I have known several of my close friends in the family, and in my family rather, that I'm not comfortable naming, obviously, but that have really separated themselves, cut the ties with the mom or the dad.
That's sad.
And they've said, I've had too much. There's too much abuse. It's abuse of power. It's all this bullshit. Or like lack thereof attention or time, like just whatever the case may be, they've had enough. So I think it's really commendable that you're even saying, I want to see my mom, mm-hmm, because as two people sitting on this couch, D and I, like, we can't even have that time anymore. So it's good that you're even seeing the positive in it. I would definitely say the biggest thing, if my friends that I've known who've cut their parents out getting back in, I would just let them know, please, mm-hmm, have some boundaries. You know, and her saying, like, let her back into my life, like, not telling her too much about my life, like, that definitely needs to be a boundary. I feel, mm-hmm, like you should work up to that slowly, because it sounds like you've been burnt in the past by this woman, and yeah, I wouldn't want that to happen again out of the goodness of your own heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's very sensitive, because our parents are designed in our minds. Again, we're trained from a very young age to treat them with a certain level of respect, to, mm-hmm, give them a certain amount of our love, to give them a certain amount of our loyalty. It's same with family, you know, but obviously as queer people, we specifically have learned that chosen family is so important. Mm-hmm. And it's actually sometimes even more beneficial, and the connection so much stronger, because we actually have to choose and put in the work to create that bond and that loyalty, and we have to show and prove ourselves to gain that reciprocated loyalty and love, mm-hmm, you know, versus just, you know, because God told you to do it, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Or because society tells you have to love your mom or your dad. And the truth is like, baby, you just have to put the energy into somebody that's putting the same energy back into you, you know? Mm-hmm. If your mom is being respectful and open and willing to have a decent conversation with you, then I think that's the same energy you should return to her. Mm-hmm. I don't think that at this point you should go above and beyond, because obviously she hasn't to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that you should consider that. I think it's all about your self-awareness and how it's affecting you in this moment and what you can handle. And it's okay to set boundaries with people and set boundaries to say, hey, mom, I'm willing to, you know, work on us and discover where we can go with this, but I'm not willing to hinder myself and block myself from my own personal happiness and success to make it work for you. We have to make it work for me at this point, because mm-hmm. you've obviously not put the steps in as a mother should, mm-hmm. you know, and that's also a lot of responsibility too on mothers too. I think,
yeah, the expectation on them
there as human beings, it is what it is. If she doesn't want to be a good mom, it sucks. It's hurtful and it's shitty, but you know, we have to move on and find mm-hmm. someone who's going to, you know what I mean? Which I'm lucky. I had a very great mother. So I mean, it's easy for me to say something like that.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, don't get me twisted, but I, you know, and I also had an amazing drag mother. So I know what it's like to have a mother too that wasn't necessarily my born mother. Mm-hmm. You know, once my mother passed away, my drag mother became a mom to me, mm-hmm. and really was an adult mother to me more than even my own mom, you know? So I, you know, the thing is, pay attention to the people that show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Point blank period.
Yeah.
The other side of that coin though is that we do have so much expectation on our parents. Like, they're supposed to love you, they're supposed to provide for you. Sometimes we forget that they're just normal human beings who are also fucked up just like us. Like, so think of your mother just as any other human being who's fucked up, and maybe they were not able to break that generational trauma that they went through, but that doesn't mean that you can't. Like, if your parents right. can't break that generational trauma, it's up to you. Like, you stop that there, you forget about it, and you try to rebuild that relationship that you want.
The quote unquote generational trauma is my new favorite phrase of the day.
I mean, it's a takeaway for sure.
Come on, generational trauma.
It's so tea. It's a good drag
so
name.
So tea. Welcome to the stage, generational trauma.
I actually love that.
Stop. I can't take it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you, Eureka. Thank you, Dee, for sitting down with us. This was like bountiful education flow. I feel like I learned so much. And
I did too.
It really is like so like amazing and like just like crazy hearing you speak. We talk all the time, but getting that deep, like I didn't even know that you were trans for 4 years.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Well, I didn't know that your mother had passed away too and from cancer as well as mine. You know, like it's the time we got to sit down and talk today was really magical for me too. So I appreciate it.
Oh,
so
well,
much.
We love you.
We do.
Here at Queerified.
Ooh, Queerified is the one, honey. Make sure you all go and put them notifications on, honey, listen every week. Miss Get Gorgified, honey, by Miss Gigi Gorgeous.
Other than HBO, where can everybody else find you?
You know, honestly, you can find me in the back alley behind Mickey's sucking dick. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll be there recording her tonight.
Hello. Come on, OnlyFans.com. You know, hustling, making side money. No, at Eureka O'Hara on all social media platforms. Look for me on the silver screen. My goal is to be an actress and keep acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to do more of that and look forward to season 3 of We're Here. And if you're not already streaming season 1 and 2, then where are
Pull
you?
Pull it together.
Honestly.
Honestly. Yeah.
And obviously keep supporting RuPaul's Drag Race, because it gave me an opportunity to have a platform, period. And on period, thank you, Mama RuPaul, for everything you do for us. And what a wonder.
And Vegas Amen. Will be gracing,
oh,
having
Vegas.
A grace
Yes, yes, all Vegas.
Wait, Vegas?
So obviously, I have a lot of things going on.
Too much to even count.
I'm also doing a Vegas residency starting February 3rd. So for where? Months, I'll be in Vegas at the Flamingo.
And I'll be going.
And you better be.
Oh, I'm gonna be there.
She gonna have a booth, honey. The kids are gonna be screaming for her as loud as they are us.
I'm gonna be fucking dying. I wanted to go last year.
You'll love it.
Didn't make it. Oh, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die.
And it's a really good show. You know, Brandon Voss and Voss Events really does put on a great show.
Oh, yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Vegas. Oh, so fun. And then we get to slot and go to a club or something.
I mean, I'm not into the slot machines. I'm more of a card girl, but honestly,
I'll slot you card.
We will fully zhuzh up and go to the club either way.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Eureka.
That was another episode of Queerified. We hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you on the next one. Stay gorgeous. Mwah.
Thanks to our very special guest, the Elephant Queen, Eureka O'Hara, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and me
at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, and review. It helps us so much, guys. And follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts.